Look what I did for you. Oh, I did this. God, you had to call me. I'm the greatest thing. I have the greatest personality. Boy, there's no one can speak like me. Oh, my. I gave so much money. I've served so many people. I helped so many widows. I did this. I did that. I did the other thing. No, it isn't going to be. No flesh is going to glory in the presence of God. Christ has to be in us doing the things, brethren. That's before anything else. Let's continue. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. That's where it comes from. Not from ourselves. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. Now let's come over to chapter 3. And let's understand that in some fellowship groups, we've had wonderful fellowship groups. And I'll read a little bit about that, that some have written to me. We've had some where there have been difficult problems. And I'll also cover some of those. But here is where the problems come from. And here are the difficulties, because all of the scattered sheep that God are sending us are thin, spiritually, skinny, run down, having been malnourished. And as a result, you tie that in, there's even a great deal of carnality involved in it. And so we don't want to have the same problems repeated again in the fellowship groups of the Christian Biblical Church of God that have been in the past church affiliation. It's like a woman told me one time, which is very true. You can get the church, you can get the person out of the church, whatever church of God, you can put the appendage on there, whichever one it is, but you can't get the church out of the person. See? So, we're not here to play church. I'm not here to rule and control and dominate everyone. I don't want that, brother. But I do want to teach. And I do want to show you the Word of God, which God has shown us and taught us through the years that we have been separated and small and keeping our noses in the Bible and growing in grace and knowledge. Now God expects us to share that with you. And so that you likewise can grow in grace and knowledge, that you can get some flesh on your bones, that you can get some meat, spiritual meat into your system, that you can think with the mind of Christ, that you can do with the mind of Christ, you see. That's all necessary, just like the Corinthians here. Chapter 3 and verse 1, and brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes. And I know, brethren, that for some of you, some of the sermons that I bring, some of them are way over your head because of your lack of background and the things that you have not been taught. But that doesn't mean you can't understand it. That just is an acknowledgement that you have been dumbed down. There's no reason why you can't catch up. That's why we have series after series after series. And every tape that you get represents 1 week in time. And we have hundreds of tapes, brethren. Now, we're not going to send them to you all at once. You can be guaranteed that. It would break us if we endeavored to do that. But you see, when you're just babes in Christ, and when you have been kept as babes in Christ, when you've been kept in sandbox, it makes it difficult. So Paul said here, I fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are you now able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? And brethren, I'll just have to say that whatever problems we've had in some of the few fellowship groups where we've had problems, it's right here, verse 3. All of these. Someone wanting to be the teacher. Someone thinking that they really know the scriptures and they don't know anything. just getting carried away with vanity and deceit and all the things of human nature? We don't need that, brethren. He says, are you not carnal? Or don't you walk as men? While one says, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who is Paul? Now, here's the one apostle who has 14 epistles in the New Testament, more than any other apostle. What did he think of himself? He said, who is Paul? He also said, when he wrote the book of Ephesians, he said that he considered himself to be less than the least of the saints, because he understood it was Christ, because he understood that it had to come from God the Father. And brethren, I feel exactly the same way. Who is Fred Coulter? Well, nothing really. But if I can teach you and show you the Word of God, and you can grow, and you can overcome, and you can be in the kingdom of God, then that's what's important, brethren. And there's a lot of catching up that needs to be done. Let's go on. And who is Apollos? But even ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So I think that all the teachers and ministers, and we'll have more teachers, and we'll have elders and things like that as we go along, provided that God shows through their fruits that they're truly called to it, not just to fill a vacant position in a hierarchy. You see? But all of those who are teaching and ministers, they should be just like sprinklers, watering the field of God, shepherding the flock of God, feeding the lambs of God. That's what it's all about. That's what we're talking about here. So then neither is he that plants anything. Paul said, of myself, I'm nothing. And he knew it. And brethren, that's the first thing we all need to know. Because if we don't understand that, we aren't even up to bat, let alone swinging the bat, or let alone getting on any of the bases. The whole goal is to hit the home run to be in the kingdom of God, is it not? Yes. Well, until we understand that we're nothing, and that Christ is everything, and he's made it possible, and he has called us, and he is the one who's the head of the church, then it isn't going to mean anything, is it? We'll just have nothing but continuous carnality and stupidity and division and arrogance and self-exaltation by those who want to be in positions of power. And that's nonsense. There are no positions of power. If you have the love of God, there is no position of power for men to come in and grab a hold and take a hold of to rule and run things. Even in the two congregations that I teach to every Sabbath. Brethren, I drive over 200 miles every Sabbath and preach twice every Sabbath. And in that, I act just like a host. I sit down and teach. The only difference between what you get on the tapes and what we do in the congregations is that we have live questions right there as we're going along. And there are times when we just sit down and we talk. And cover things. Answer questions. No one is afraid to talk to me. I don't exercise authority over anyone. I don't have to. If Christ rules in your heart, he's the one who exercises authority, isn't he? Yes. And we can get along with peace, with love, with harmony, with understanding. And that's how God wants the fellowship groups to be. Not carnal and full of strife, as we've seen here. For he that plants and he that waters are one. See? God is the one who is giving the increase. Whatever is done in you, brethren, Christ is doing that. Now, if we can help, if we can feed, if we can teach, then that's going to help you. We all benefit. We all grow. Continuing on here. They are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Remember, God said he's going to judge the the shepherds? Yes, he is. He's going to judge every one of us. For we are laborers together with God, and you are God's husbandry, and you are God's building. And that's what it is. Everyone that God has called belongs to God. It is not my group, my people, my brethren. It is God's group, God's people, God's brethren. And Christ is the head. Now let's see right here how it's to be done. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder. Now, everyone who is a teacher or ordained to teach, and really a teacher indeed. Now, that's to exclude all of the political organizations. They don't, ordinations, they don't count. But there is a grace of God given to teach the Word of God, to study and know the Word of God, to convey that and bring it to the brethren, to teach them and help them so that they can grow in grace and knowledge and understanding and attain to the kingdom of God, you see. Now he says, I have laid the foundation, another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that's for every one of us. This is the whole basis of any fellowship group. It is going to be based upon Jesus Christ and the love of God. No other way. That has to be first and foremost, primary above everything else. Now, if any man build upon goods, build upon their gold, silver, precious stone, so it shows there are varying degrees of growth. What we want to do, brethren, is build the gold, silver, and precious stone. We don't want to build the wood, hay, and stubble. How many churches have you seen built on wood, hay, and stubble? And pow, the storm comes along, and the wind blows, and the rain falls, and it's gone. Where are they? Where have all the brethren gone? Where have all the ministers gone? Where are all the formerly supposed important people that we used to know today? Now let's continue on right here in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. God is going to make it manifest. That's what's happening today in the church. God is making manifest what was done, what was built, and how much gold, silver, and precious stones are there. Very little. How much wood, hay, and stubble? Abundance. Notice what's going to happen. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And that is the trial racing through the whole church today. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man work abides thereupon which he has built, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you? Think on that, brethren. That's the whole basis of everything in a fellowship group or congregation. That is the whole purpose of it. Now notice, he continues on. If any man defile the temple of God, that is your own body, or the body of Christ, defile your own body by sin, defile the body of Christ by sin, being false doctrine, hierarchy, controlling authority, harshness, meanness, cruelty, that defiles the body of Christ, does it not? Yes, indeed. Him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we need to understand that. When we come together on the Sabbath, as we're going to see, there's a profound, profound reason for it. We'll see that in just a minute. Let no man deceive himself. So now he gets right down to it. How many people have been out there deceiving themselves in their social religious thing that they have? I just got a tape from Worldwide Church of God. Blew me away. Could not believe it. Women leading songs, opening in prayers, giving sermonettes. Of the service, they have mostly songs and mostly announcements and a few reading of scriptures. And we are here to present ourselves before you, God, because we are so good. And we voluntarily set aside this time to come before you. Nonsense. God has commanded the day for a holy and a special purpose. And you don't come to God to tell God what you're going to do. God is going to tell all of us what to do. Now let's go on. If any man seem wise among you in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise in Christ. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So why on earth, brethren, do we think we could take the wisdom of this world, the corporate structure of this world, and try and build a church to build the spiritual qualities? You can't. Remember this, profound truth. Mark this, underline it. You cannot accomplish spiritual things with physical means. You cannot do it. It won't work. Sooner or later, the stress is going to come, and it's going to break. Again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. And whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Now then, we're ready to understand how a fellowship group should be run. What is the major purpose of fellowshipping anyway? It's surely not just to get together to feel good. It's surely not just to have a social club. What is the purpose of it? Let's go to 1 John, the first chapter. Epistle of 1 John, the first chapter. While we're turning there, let's just reiterate again. The truth of God is over every one of us. Everyone. That's why we need to always operate on that basis. Furthermore, we need to realize that Jesus said, I am the truth and the way and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And we need to understand that. 1 John, the first chapter, and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you also, that you may have fellowship with us. Now we're talking about fellowship. And fellowship, you come together with one mind, with one heart, with one purpose, with one goal. And here it is. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And brethren, that's how to make the Sabbath day and fellowshipping a wonderful experience. Because you're coming before God the Father. You are fellowshipping with Him, His Spirit in you, Christ in you. And then the brethren, if we're all doing the same thing, then we will have the love of God among us, will we not? Then we will have cooperation and understanding, will we not? Yes. We need to understand that. Now, how large should a fellowship group be? Well, let's go to Matthew 18. Here we are told. Now, I realize that this applies in the Matthew 18 situation, and it applies to making an agreement between one another, but also we have this which is true. If Christ is in you, and God the Father is in you, then in the smallest group, you fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ just as well. Here, Matthew 18 and verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, that's what we do on the Sabbath. We gather together in the name of Jesus Christ. There I am in the midst of them. So that's why on the Sabbath we need to, as it is, not do our own business, not think our own thoughts, but to call the Sabbath holy and delight and honorable and good, because we're fellowshipping with God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's the whole basis of any fellowship group. Any other basis, if it's because you know someone there and you go because they're there, then you're here for the wrong purpose. Do you want eternal life and salvation? And another thing, in a fellowship group with the brethren, one of the things that we have never learned to do, but we are learning now, is this: to truly love each other and get along with each other. And you also need to understand this. Don't you think that God is going to require that in order to be in the kingdom of God? Do you think that all the fighting and strife and all the carnality God is going to let into the kingdom of God? Do you think it's going to be as the apostles were arguing over who was to be the greatest and who was to rule over, that Christ was going to allow that to continue? Of course not. It's not going to be in the kingdom of God either. It isn't going to be that way. Now, here's some other things we need to understand concerning a fellowship group. Most important thing is, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13, and then we'll get into 1 Corinthians 14. It all has to be based upon the love of God. And the way that the fellowship groups are going to succeed is if everyone actively lives by and applies 1 Corinthians 13 and the love of God. And I just want to state right here that if, as individuals in a fellowship group and congregation, whether individually or together, if you have not personally studied through the Love series and the Grace series, you do not have a clue as to what a Christian Biblical Church of God fellowship is all about. So I suggest that you listen to those and learn from those, because we learn through very hard experience concerning the love of God. And all of those are right there, brethren, for you to see and to know and understand. And every bit of strife and every bit of difficulty that has come up in any of the churches of God is because of the carnality and the lack of love that the brethren and the ministry have had. So it has to be based upon 1 Corinthians 13. Now notice, let's come here to verse 13. Now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of them is love. So we need to understand this. As I said in the Roman series, we need to walk by faith, live in hope, and dwell in love. And if we do that with the fellowship groups, then we are going to see that we can all get along, that there will be growth, that there will be love, that there will be grace, that there will be the things that God wants us to have, and all the spiritual benefits that come from it. If not, it's going to be one continuous strife and hassle. And since most of you already know that we've nicknamed ourselves the No Hassle, Recycle, Last Resort Church of God, we don't want any hassles in the fellowship groups. We've had some. We've had to deal with them. But God has seen us through it. I'll cover some of those in just a little bit. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, for just a minute here, and to cover a principle that's very important, and then we'll come to 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 1, 1 Corinthians 8. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And that's the most important thing. Now let's continue on here. And if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing, as as he ought to know. But if a man love God, the same is known of him. Now let's put all three of these verses together here. Very important. Love edifies. That's the whole reason that the love of God is emphasized in the Christian Biblical Church of God, because we have learned by hard experience that the love of God is the only thing on which we can build the foundation for the fellowship groups in the Church of God. Nothing else is going to work. Everything else has been tried. Why not take the greatest thing that God has given, is love, and use that to build? Now, the word edifies means to build. That's the whole purpose of every Sabbath, so that every Sabbath you can grow in grace and knowledge. You can be built in character, the character of Christ. You can build step by step in knowledge and understanding and use of the Word of God. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's look at some verses here. Very important for us to understand. Now I'm going to give some studies here fairly soon on the tongues question, and I think you'll be very surprised what Paul is actually teaching here, but I'm not going to touch on that today. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 14. He that prophesies. Now, prophesies does not mean a forthtelling of the future. It means a telling forth of God's word. In other words, inspired speaking. He that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, to edify, to build. That's the whole basis and purpose of a fellowship group, is to help build each one in Christ. Otherwise, whatever we do then is just going to be, in degree, vanity. To build. To exhort, which means to encourage. And to comfort. You fellowship and come to the assembly of the church for comfort. Because God's Spirit is called the Comforter, the Helper. You don't come to church or fellowship group to live in fear, play politics, to get your own little ends or means. No. But to edification and exhortation or encouragement and comfort. And he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. That's vanity. Self-serving vanity. And if there's anything that we don't want, brethren, among anyone, is self-serving vanity. God doesn't want that. Are you going to profit the church? Are you going to grow closer to God with your vanity? Of course not. But the one who is prophesying edifies the church to build it. That's why we study the Bible. Someone recently attended our fellowship group up north. We call it up north. That's in Pleasant Hill. And I told the person before she came, I said, now we do things differently here from your other church experience. We actually study the Bible. And that's how then you're going to be built. Every one of these, and you will see through the years, you take any one of the series, extended series that we have, you will see that each sermon is built one upon the other. As God gives us more knowledge and understanding, as God reveals through His Word, so that we can teach it, that we can learn it, that we can know it, you see, to build the most, because you see, what did Paul say? If any man build on this foundation, that means to edify on this foundation. Is not Christ the master builder? Is he not the one who has built the building? Is he not even, is the body of Christ the head of it? Yes, indeed. And so therefore, in edifying the church, that's the whole goal of a fellowship group. Now, it's nice to have songs if you have someone who can play a keyboard, or if you have recorded music, that's fine. But the main thing is to be built. Here, let's go to verse 33. Let's see what the fellowship group should not be. Verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion. And confusion here in the Greek means dissension, strife. God doesn't want that. But of peace. And peace only comes from the love of God. And peace only comes when you understand the purpose of fellowship groups. As in all churches of the saints, and that's what God wants it to be, so that we can grow in grace and knowledge. Now, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. So therefore, things should be lined up in a way that are decent and in order. A set time to meet, a set place to meet, someone who's going to host, and the host is not a surrogate ruler. A host is just that, to host. And in our fellowship groups, I host. That's how I do it. Now, in larger fellowship groups, where there are more men, then what Glenn Daniel has done is this. He has rotates between the different men to host on a Sabbath, which means to lead the songs, to go ahead and play the tape, whatever the lesson may be, audio or video, to go ahead and moderate any discussion during the tape, which is perfectly all right as long as things aren't carried away and someone is not trying to exercise their own little axe to grind type of thing or pet little doctrine. And then helps moderate the discussion at the end of services. That way everyone is built up. That's perfectly fine. That's the way that the congregations and the fellowship groups should be run. Needs to be controlled so that there are not those people who are going to get things carried away. Now here, in 1 Timothy, the first chapter, we find that there was a problem which some people caused, and that is indeterminate questions. 1 Timothy 4, or 1 and verse 4, rather. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 4. Nope, let's go back to verse 3. And as they besought you to abide still at Ephesus, and when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrines. One rule for sure. A fellowship group is not the place for testing new ideas on doctrine. Now, I have learned a lot of things from brethren who've written and sent me things. As a matter of fact, I've been inspired to bring many sermons by Dwight Blevins in Grand Junction, Colorado. And so if you have something that is new, write it up. Call me. Let's talk about it. But if it's fine, if it's good, if it is really the truth of God, wonderful. But it is not the place. Fellowship groups are not the place to exercise your vanity to try and show your knowledge of how much you know in God, because then you are not edifying the church. Now, we had one problem in one fellowship group, where we were sending the tapes, and the man was, he just came over from Global, and he just didn't get Global out of his system. He brought that right in there. And he would monitor the tapes and decide which ones the congregation would hear, if they would hear any. And then he began bringing his own teachings. Instead of having a sermonette once in a while, he was giving a whole sermon week after week after week after week. And finally, the brethren did the right thing. One of his friends went to him to talk about the situation. He said, well, I want a meeting of the whole group. So he got his desire. And the whole group unanimously said, look, we don't need you teaching. We want to hear the teachings from the Christian Biblical Church of God so that we can grow. And where have the tapes been? What have you been doing? Well, the man wouldn't admit one thing wrong, and so he separated himself. Well, that's good. Not everyone that comes to a fellowship group is going to stay. If they're going to come at cross purposes with fellowshipping with God the Father and Jesus Christ, they're not going to stay. And the congregation did the right thing. The fellowship group did the right thing. They exercised their God-given authority, as we find in the Scriptures, to handle the situation. And if the man would have said, oh, I'm sorry, there wouldn't have been any problem. He could have repented, but he didn't want to. He wanted, insisted on his own way. So he separated himself. Now, occasionally we have things like this. Now, if you have men there in your fellowship group who can bring sermon, that's fine. But you don't need the old worldwide format, three songs, sermonette, a song, announcement, sermon, a song, and that's it. Vary the format. Maybe a sermonette every other week. And please, anybody who brings a sermonette, please keep it 12 to 15 minutes, no longer. No longer. And please, do not give series of sermonettes week after week after week. Now, if you have something that is really very important and needs to be brought, well, then discuss it with the whole group there. And if necessary, call me. I'll be glad to help you out in it, and fine. But we just don't need that kind of thing going on. I had one man, or in several places, say, listen, we don't need amateurs teaching us after we have had amateurs teaching us in worldwide and so forth. We want to learn the Word of God. We want to learn the meat of what Christian Biblical Church of God has to teach the brethren. And that's what we need to talk about. And I'm not doing this, brethren, to occupy the time. And I'm not doing this to set myself up as some one-man hierarchy. But God has put me through the ringer and has taught me an awful lot of things, and I need to teach and share those with all the brethren. And it's not me that's doing it, it's Christ, and it's got to be. Because I know there's nothing that I have that I didn't receive that didn't come from God. Not a single thing. That's why you don't hear me exercising authority. That's why I don't give corrective sermons, because if you can be inspired to love God, God can correct you, can he not? Yes. Now, here's what was written of one fellowship group, which sums up most of our fellowship groups. And this is just fine. It's written, how it works for us. Our small group has been studying together for almost 2 years now without any disagreement or dissension. Now that's marvelous. And this is the basis on which we are agreed and on which we mean to continue. We are part of the No Hassle Recycle Last Resort Church of God. God is our Father, Christ is our Master. The King James translation of the Bible is our textbook and guide. Fred Coulter is our teacher, and as long as we can prove his teachings from the Bible, we have no need to change. Anyone is welcome to fellowship and join us in the worship of God under those conditions. Anyone who is looking for argument, strife, and contention should look elsewhere. You will be able to find it in any group which does not have a solid foundation in God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Bible. They can be identified by their lack of love and their lack of the Spirit of God. Now, I have several other letters here that I could go into, but it gets right back to the very beginning. What is the purpose of our calling? And the purpose of our calling is to be the sons and daughters of God, to be in the kingdom of God, to learn and to know the Word of God, so that we can all grow together in it, brethren. That's the whole basis of a fellowship group. So the small details of things that need to be done, you can discuss it with everyone, on where you should meet and how you should meet and so forth. And go ahead and vary the structure of services. Sometimes you may want to have no songs at all and start out by discussing the news and then get into the study for that week. Other times you may want to have songs and then a sermonette. Other times you may want to just have songs and get directly into the study and have discussion as the study tape moves along. And that's perfectly all right, as long as the host moderates it so that no one's getting carried away and trying to monopolize the whole time. And then when you're finished, go ahead and have discussion about it, because some of the things that we cover and go through are so important and profound that you need to have discussion afterwards. And by all means, make sure that it is based upon the faith and the hope and the love of God with the foundation of Jesus Christ, and that on every Sabbath you are fellowshipping with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And also, brethren, pray for me and pray for those others that we will constantly bring you the truth of the Word of God to help you, to edify you, to upbuild you, to make sure that you are in the kingdom of God. That's the purpose of a fellowship group and a congregation. And so I hope this has been helpful for you, and we're going to send this out to all the fellowship groups and hope that it will be very helpful to you in seeing what you need to do in your particular area. And I hope to see you sometime real soon.
The Canadian and overseas addresses for the Christian Biblical Church of God are as follows. Canada, Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, K6V5V2. Australia, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 30, Glen Huntly, Australia, 3163. New Zealand, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 552, Albany, Auckland, 1331, New Zealand. Republic of South Africa, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 21279, Hilda Cruen, HELDERKRUIN, 1733, Republic of South Africa. United Kingdom, Christian Biblical Church of God, P.O. Box 7357, Kilmarnock, Scotland, United Kingdom.